Usually this time of year, there's a lot of pregnancies and whatnot and the joy of the holiday season. And so usually in January and February, our baptisms go up a little bit, I found in my experience. And that's such a joy for me, even going back 20 years to be baptizing young infants and starting their faith journey in the church, seeing the happiness and joy of the parents. And I always, since I was ordained a priest, I always keep track of the names of the babies that I've baptized so that I'm reminded to pray for them every time that I do a baptism, all the babies. And it's interesting when I look back to see all the names and how the names have kind of changed throughout the years, you know, what's most popular. This year, the Baby Center put out a report of the most popular names for children for this previous year. And just think for a moment, what do you think the five most popular girl names were for this year? Just get one in your mind, and we'll see if you get one. The first one is Olivia. The second one is Emma. The third most popular one is Amelia. The fourth one is Ava, and the fifth one is Sophia. And for the boys, the top five were Liam, Noah, Oliver, Elijah, and Mateo being fifth. So it's kind of interesting to see what parents like these days. We know most names, of course, have a history to them and have a meaning that you can look up online, which is always interesting to see what your name means. You know, this is how I found out that my name, Sean, is the Irish form of John, and that means God is gracious. And of course, John has been one of the most popular boy names throughout the centuries, as it was in the Old and New Testament times, and it's been translated into practically every Western language. In Jesus' time, we know that there were two great men who bore this given name, John the Apostle and Evangelist, and John the Baptist, whom we hear about today. They both deserve the name and its meaning, because God was indeed gracious to us through both of them. John the Evangelist gave us the written account of Jesus' life for us to reflect on. And John the Baptist, of course, gave us the sacrament of baptism in its earliest form to prepare us for a spiritual relationship with the Lord to be strengthened throughout our lives. We read in the Gospels about John the Baptist, of course, who left every convenience behind to go out into the wilderness, into the desert, and prepare the way of the Lord's first coming by his preaching, his example, and of course, his baptism of repentance. And his preaching, of course, was so direct and honest that it eventually drew down upon him the wrath of the Pharisees and even Herod himself, the king of Judea, who had John arrested and thrown into prison after John had pointed out Jesus as the Lamb of God to his followers. And it was here, in this dark cell, that some of John's closest followers, whom we hear about today, visited him, telling John of all Jesus' words and miracles, and then asking John if Jesus was truly the Messiah or Savior that he was preparing the way for. John, of course, I think knew that his cousin was indeed the Messiah, and so he sent perhaps his disciples to Jesus to ask him themselves if it was true, hoping that they would now begin to follow Jesus instead of himself. John did this not only for his own belief, but for theirs, so that Jesus himself could introduce himself to them as the way and the truth and the life, as he's done so for all of us. For Jesus' name, too, comes from the Old Testament name of Joshua, who was the leader of the Jewish nation after Moses died. The name Jesus and Joshua both mean God's salvation or God saves. And both the names of Jesus and John were chosen and given by God the Father through the angel Gabriel to the Blessed Virgin Mary and Zechariah, John's father. For this was indeed the time of fulfillment and salvation. John's vocation was given to him as he jumped for joy while still in the womb of his mother Elizabeth when she heard Mary's greeting the day she arrived to assist Elizabeth with Jesus in her womb. And thus both of these expecting mothers were filled with excitement, knowing that together they would bring their children into the sinful world to bring about its redemption. John preparing the people and Jesus redeeming them from their sins. And yet, we know how the story ends for both of them. John is eventually beheaded by Herod, and Jesus, our Savior, is nailed to the cross. But St. Paul reminds us that the story of our redemption is not over yet. And so he urges us today to be patient until the return of the Lord and to practice our faith. It is then that the last of the prophecies will be fulfilled for those that are prepared and ready to greet our Lord. The gates of heaven will, of course, be open. And the names which our parents were inspired to give us will be written forever in the book of life. So that's certainly something to look forward to. So today, let us be patient and ready for a far better kingdom than the one that we share here together with all its conflicts and suffering. And let us pray and not lose hope for this life with all its sufferings, as any senior or grandparent will tell you, really passes by very quickly. So we know, too, that the Lord could return for us any day. And so let us embrace the few weeks that we have left in this Holy Advent season to hear once again the Baptist's call to repent, to do good works, and to pray, for the kingdom of God is always at hand. And if we do this prayerfully and honestly, I can assure you that this Christmas you will indeed rejoice at the memory of Jesus' first coming among us and will be well prepared for his second.